We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Henley, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station. Mully and Henley, up early to start your day with Chicago sports talk.
Boy, you guys are ready. You guys are fired off the buses.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
Are the Bears facing a must-win scenario versus Green Bay?
If you're John Fox or you're Ryan Pace and you want to continue to sell feel good and positivity and we're closer than people think or realize, you lose this game, and those words not only ring hollow, no one wants to hear them. Things change in the NFL, and they change quickly. So maybe this isn't a three-year rebuild. Maybe next year you could be that team that's knocking on the door because your defense seems like it's primed and ready to go. If you want to be able to talk for the next 2 months about all the good feelings and all the good things going on at Hal's Hall, you better win this game.
Mully and Henley.
What the hell's going on in this show?
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
Joe Cowley saying that Bobby Portis isn't going anywhere.
Nico no wanted here.
It's not a Portis or Nico situation. It's get along, Nico, or
get him out.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out because you might get hurt.
That saddens me. I just don't want it to end like that for Nico. I just think it's a really rough situation. Not only did the guy get his face busted up, he now appears to have gotten his career busted up, and clearly he's got his pride busted up.
What's up, Chicago?
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Yeah, poor Nico. I don't know why I feel bad for him because he makes tons of money and it doesn't matter. But it's, you know, this is your profession. You come over here, you devote yourself to it. And I don't know. It's just a tough period of time for him and his career, and I don't know what's going to happen with it, but it's not going to be long term here, that's for sure.
Well, if he was a much better player, you'd hear a lot more outcry about poor Nico, right? Because he's just a guy,
no,
and Bobby Portis is just a guy. Until the other night, he looked like he could be a player. There's actually a player that's can contribute moving forward. Again, it's one game for Bobby Portis, but he sure sounds like a different guy, at least to my ears. And Casey said the same. Yesterday we were talking about, he just seems like a more mature guy, but that sounds odd.
Well, he had his dream taken away,
right,
and he doesn't want that to happen.
Right.
That's
I
think I take him at his word with that. Brian, I got to tell you, the emergence of Lauri Markkanen, isn't he what Nico was supposed to be?
Yes.
Isn't this guy coming in here
with some defense on top of it?
Doing okay on defense, knocking down some shots. The big guy from the outside. That's what I thought Nico was going to be. And instead, he never really was that. And now we don't know if he will be.
He had that month of March.
We'll always have that March.
Yeah.
Always. And as far as the Bears are concerned, again, the object of the game is to win. And let's hope that they win. It'd be great if they had the quarterback up and running correctly and you felt really good about what they were doing on offense. But I don't suspect that's the case. I think that what we've seen is kind of what we're going to see. I think what we're going to see with again, I think the way you look at this is almost like rehab from an injury, where it's not this kind of day-to-day progression. It's more like incremental step, right? So you don't really get better. You don't get better. Boom, I feel pretty good. Hey, the shoulder works again. Then you don't get better. You don't get better. Boom, wow, this is really significantly stronger than it was. I think this is going to work out. I think that's how improvement of quarterbacks works in the NFL. I don't think that we in Chicago have seen it, so it's hard for us to judge it. But I think the kid is as bad as the numbers have been, I think he's getting better. And I love hearing that Josh Sitton story that he told to the Green Bay media and the idea that this kid is growing as a leader, because I think he's got some quality to him that we some kind of swagger to him that we haven't really seen in his game yet, but it exists, and hopefully they figure out a way to use him correctly and get that going. But above all else, you better beat the damn Packers, period, end of story.
And for those who didn't hear the story, Josh Sitton told the Green Bay media on a conference call that gave him a story of one of the games. He didn't say which one. The linemen were breaking the huddle early while Trubisky was still calling the play, and he said, "You know, you don't break the bleeping huddle. That's my bleeping huddle. I'll break it when I want to get back in here." And Josh Sitton said, "I love that bleep. I mean, love that this kid was telling veterans, get back in here. I'll tell you when we're done here. I'm not done talking."
And that's good. That's how that, you know, you got to have that kind of confidence.
And
you
got to
have that command. Yeah. Stuff that Mike Glennon may have learned from Jameis Winston. Although Jameis Winston, boy, that's pretty ugly stuff what's going on down there. Mike Glennon would be playing down there right now if he were still there. That's a place he could play.
He said we should return to sender.
Did you see Winston pushing? They played New Orleans, and Winston's out of the game, and he's standing on the sidelines, and who's the rookie corner from
Marshawn Lattimore?
Lattimore. So Lattimore comes to the side, and Winston slaps him in the back of the head.
He said he's pointing to get over to your sideline.
No, he hit him.
He's poking him in the back of the helmet.
So he turns around and kind of shoves him.
Yeah.
Next thing you know,
Mike Evans clears him out.
Mike Evans is just taking a huge run across the field. He got a one-game suspension for it.
And knew
it was going to. On Winston.
Right.
That was all on Wednesday.
Mike Evans was apologetic after the game, said, I'm likely, you know, won't be surprised if I get suspension, called it immature, need to be better, and Jameis Winston begrudgingly apologized because his teammate got suspended, not because of what he was doing. Anyway, he's out with the shoulder, as you said, and Mike Glennon, maybe, you know, Ryan Pace should call down there and see if they want him.
Well, it's too late now.
I know.
The trade deadline passed. 312-644.
If Bill Polian was the commissioner, we could get that done.
67-67 when he is commissioner. James is on the road. Good morning, James.
Morning, fellas.
Hey, James.
You there?
James.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Not James. We didn't lose James. Let's hope it's just a drop of the line and not anything else.
And we do have a difference of opinion via the text zone brought to us by Grossinger Auto
Group. Hard to believe.
About wins versus development of the quarterback. Do you want the 300-plus yards and two or three TDs from Mitch Trubisky and okay with the loss? Or is it win at all costs? And if he has pedestrian numbers or even below average numbers, and as David said, win 10-9, is that more important? And some people viewing it big picture and high draft picks and go ahead and keep losing and developing a quarterback. And then the school of thought is every week is sacred and wins are wins and you got to grab them as you can.
Yeah, I think I think wins are very important.
One guy said the texter said he played the game in college. And he said as long as he had a good game, he knew that was a boost to his confidence. If he knew he was on a bad team, he knew he was on a bad team. But it didn't do anything to diminish how he approached the game or the effort he put in because, you know, you can look around and say, yeah, this is not going to work out. I'm 1 of 53 or whatever it is. I can only do what I can do. Not so good here.
I mean, we've all played sports. I don't think there's ever been a basketball game I played in where I didn't know exactly how many points and how many rebounds I had. Not that I was obsessed with my own performance or, you know, I wasn't very good, but you do know. It's not like you're not keeping some kind of mental, you know, stock of your value as a player. You know what you're doing and what you're not doing.
You also know who to throw the ball to and not throw the ball to. Either because the guy's no good and can't make a shot to save his life,
right,
or the guy's going to keep shooting and you're never going to see the ball again. No one else is going to see the ball again.
Yeah, well, I remember being in high school and I was playing soccer at that point and I remember a guy got the ball turned, looked at me, and just thought better of going to me and going the other way. And I confronted him after the game about it. Like, what was that? You know, well, I just thought you were in a bad position. No, just give me the ball. Like, the guy really did evaluate.
You could actually see him going
through. I could see the bloody rat on the wheel running around as he was thinking it through.
I got to go to my check down.
Just pass the ball.
I'm going to my check down now. Yeah,
but that is an awful feeling. If you're standing in the corner waiting to take the jumper, hey, and you're, give me the ball.
Give me the
and
damn
then
ball.
Someone looks at you like,
no, not today.
I'll jack this thing up. Oh, damn it. We've all been there too, right? Well, maybe some haven't. I don't think Mike Jordan ever went through that. Although he was cut from his team in high school.
Yep.
Sophomore year, is
and
that it?
Brought it right back at the Hall of Fame speech.
Oh, boy. Remember the names of everybody? I mean, that's, you know a guy is hyper-competitive when he's got all that memorized. I always thought that Jordan in the Hall of Fame speech was one of his great moments because the mask slipped and you saw the guy that was taking apart everybody he could get his hands on. That was the first time where you really, hey, you know, don't laugh. I might come back. Like, that was the guy. That's why he was so great. And you know, people don't want to hear that because they say, well, that's bad sportsmanship and you're supposed to be all stiff upper lip. Listen, you're supposed to win first and foremost, and then you worry about what people's statistics are or how well you played or who fits in where. And I thought Mitchell Trubisky said it very well earlier in the year when he said he didn't care how he did as long as the team won. And that is the attitude you have to have publicly. You know, you can compute your own statistics and you can think to yourself, geez, I wish they'd let me go here. If I could only get around that corner, if they'd let me do this, I could do that.
Open up the offense, and that, you said
and
yesterday.
That's coming from that kid.
Yeah.
That is coming. And that's a good sign. That means that he's a competitor, and I really enjoy that. But I also believe that this team right now, where they're at, they can win this game by playing good defense. They can win this game by running the football. They might not be able to win the game if they make errors. So they still have to. This is a very, very narrow margin of victory for the Bears when you start talking about
week in, week out,
flaws.
Margin
that's
of error.
I mean
that's
their
it.
Entire talent
one
level.
One touchdown in the last 27 offensive possessions.
Their grit, right? I mean, you know, that's the kind of team.
How bad is that?
You go into a game and you look at it and you say, you know, we might have an advantage here on special teams. Let's go for a play on special teams. You know, we got to blitz over here because this kid doesn't know what he's doing. You've got to find ways to get the ball, to score points that are not conventional. Flip the field, get a field goal. It's not like you're going to just start opening up the offense and having this kid throw down the field because you got a couple receivers back that nobody knows who they are. Right? Do we have a track record on Marcus Wheaton? Has he had one catch this year?
Well,
and you know, Dontrell Inman, God bless him. Welcome to the pack. Hopefully he can do something. Welcome against the pack. But you can't count on it, Brian. Well, you can't count on anything that you don't know.
You're exactly right. My guess is the winless 49ers have had more touchdowns in 27 possessions than the one the Bears have. I mean, that's almost an impossibility.
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. We're going to take a quick a moment, and then bring in Jerry DiNardo. We'll talk about where we are with this big Notre Dame game, where the Big Ten is at. Is it possible Wisconsin wins out and doesn't get in the Final Four? And what would that say about the conference? How did two of the teams that played the greatest game ever managed to lose a game the following week? Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Jerry DiNardo. Big Ten Network College Football Analyst. NCAA. Mully and Hanley's College Football Expert.
Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. Jerry DiNardo joins us on the Car X Tire and Auto Hotline. Your Car X man has the lowest tire prices right now. Hey, Jerry, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning to you guys.
So let me ask you, when both Penn State and Ohio State lose after that game, is this just a matter of, you know, playing good opponents and a natural letdown? Is it a matter of maybe seeing the rankings and you're not where you thought you were when the week started? Is there any element of that? How do you keep a team focused when that sort of thing happens to them? I mean, maybe Penn State cases. I don't know about Ohio State, but both teams probably thought they were in the top four before the college football polls came out.
Well, you know, Penn State's got a little easier job this week. They play Rutgers. So, you know, they'll get back. You know, they'll have a good week of practice and try to get back on track. And, you know, in their minds, they'll win that game, which they should. And then they'll just move on and try to place themselves in the best bowl game. I think Ohio State has obviously the bigger problem. I mean, you've got a lot of guys in that team that went there to win the national championship. You know, I say this all the time. You know, when I play at Notre Dame, it was national championship or bust. It still is that way in South Bend because they're not part of the conference. Now that's the way it is. It was always elite programs in the country. So you've got all these four and five stars at Ohio State. They're not going to play for the national championship. They're all going to get drafted. They've got agents calling them. And the biggest problem is they've got Michigan State coming to town. So now that's a refocused challenge right there.
And, Jerry, I'm always interested in how coaches approach these things and how they handle it. We know James Franklin caught flack earlier when he basically said we treat every week like you're playing Akron, just to say, you know, there's no games bigger than the other ones. But then you see Brian Kelly in South Bend this week talking about how the players are excited to be on the championship drive. Mark Richt is talking about the big stage and how they got a taste of it last Saturday, and they're certainly aware of the importance of this game, basically a must-win game for both teams. And, you know, Nick Saban says rat poison when it comes to talking about polls. So is there a happy medium where you can let the kids and acknowledge the kids have brains and they know exactly where the team stands, or do you do just try to make everyone bury their head in the sand and not think about it?
You know, Brian, I just think it's your style. I like what Brian Kelly's doing. You know, had a bad year last year. You know, he came out and said, I'm going to make changes in myself and my staff. And now all of a sudden they're doing well. Why not embrace it? Isn't this where they want it to be? You know, Nick's a little bit different because no one has the problem Nick has, and that's like being in the national championship hunt like every year and having won more than, you know, when Nick Saban's done coaching, he'll have won more national championships probably than anybody in the history of the game. So his issues are different. And so I think, you know, every coach looks at it in a different way. I don't think there's one style. James Franklin talking about Akron, that was good early in the season. He doesn't have to do that any longer, right? I mean, now he's got to win out.
Right.
So if that's not obvious to the players, you know, and like you say, most of these guys playing college football, they're really bright kids. I mean, they know what's going on. They read the paper or they read the internet. They know what's happening. And if you ignore it, you know, that's your choice, but they're not ignoring it.
Listen, there are a thousand possibilities for who ends up where and how things break down and everyone's playing everybody. But at this point, it looks as if the Big Ten will be on the outside looking in unless Wisconsin runs the table. And if they do, there's still a possibility they won't be in the Final Four if you look at all the teams ahead of them. What's your take on that? What is the message the committee sends, and what's the takeaway if that something like that happens?
Well, Molly, I think you just said it. It's about the message. So here's how I think it goes. I think this time of year, the committee talks in code, okay? They don't have to come to any conclusion. So if two teams played one another, like Oklahoma and Ohio State a couple weeks ago, of course you put Oklahoma ahead of Ohio State. And so you rank the teams with all the criteria that you listed that we read about. But at the end of the year, at the end of the day, the football people in that building, they watch the tape and they pick the four best teams. Now, here's what I think is going to happen. If, in fact, Wisconsin goes undefeated, they're going to have their clickers in their hands, and they're going to be watching Wisconsin after they've beaten Iowa this week, Michigan in a couple weeks, and win the Big Ten championship against a good team in the East, and they are going to watch Wisconsin. And, you know, they might not be a solid four, but they're going to be in the conversation, and that person's holding that clicker saying, this is a good team, and it's a conference champion that's undefeated in the Power Five, and we're not going to put them in. That has ramifications as we go forward. Now, Kirk Herbstreit was on the other night, and he said, you can't put them in just because they're undefeated. I agree with that, but the committee members will watch the tape, convince themselves that they are one of the best four, and then they can put them in the playoff and say, we thought they were one of the best four. That's what I think is going to happen if they go undefeated.
Well, Wisconsin thought they had a quality non-conference opponent in BYU and end up at that time being a one-win BYU team. And these schedules, Jerry, they used to be made 4, 5, 6 years in, you know, out, so you didn't know, but you knew which schools usually had a good program. How do you rectify that if you think you had a quality opponent and it turns out that that's a down year for that school?
Well, you can't control that, right? I mean, Barry Alvarez and Paul Chryst, they haven't been shy about good non-conference schedule. I mean, they do a great job with their non-conference schedule. But here's the problem, Brian. You watch the Wisconsin-Illinois game and you watch the Wisconsin-Purdue game and you say, hello, somebody wake up, please.
Yeah, I'm with you.
They're not playing the way they should. And here's the other thing. Again, I go back to the football people in that conference that are making the decision. Until someone stops Jonathan Taylor in the run game, and we find out, and it may be this weekend against Iowa, we have to find out if Alex Hornibrook can win a game. If Alex Hornibrook can't win a game, because every offense is stoppable. I mean, you learn early in coaching that the defense is going to take away what you do best. It might not happen every week, but you better be ready when it does happen. Sooner or later, they're going to stop the Wisconsin run game, and we're all going to find out in living color if Hornibrook can win the game. And if he can't, then they have no chance to make the playoffs.
Is Notre Dame going to be able to win this week? I mean, it's they're on the road. Defense travels. Running game can travel. Mm-hmm. They're favored. I mean, I would imagine that the athletes with Miami will be able to shut down the passing game, but it's hard to shut down a team running down your throat.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of each team, but I've seen Notre Dame a little bit. I think they're the better team. I think they win the game. I think their athletes, you know, I don't think you're flipping a coin when you say who has the better athletes and all that. And I think as far as the college football playoff, everybody better start looking at Notre Dame as the sixth Power Five conference team, because if they go undefeated, they're in. And so you can say that about most Power Five conference teams with one loss, if everyone else has one loss. And I'd say that Notre Dame's the fifth Power Conference. The sixth power conference, rather, they run the table. They're probably going to be in.
We know, Jerry, that you're pretty strong in your position that you can't put any more on the student athletes' plate, and you can't expand these playoffs and playing into February, whenever it would be. And I know Fitz told us the other day when he joined us that these are playoff games right now, and certainly the Miami Notre Dame game is a win and you're in type thing if you run the table, but. Is there a sense of inevitability that they will expand the playoff at some point?
Well, sure there is, because of the money. My argument is this, guys. Tell me how expanding the playoffs benefits the majority of the student athletes participating in the game. I know about the money. I know about leaving five out, and if you make an eight, I know about leaving nine out. I know about basketball. I just want to know, most of the kids playing college football will never, ever have a chance to win a national championship, and very few of them will have a chance to win a conference championship. And so why are we doing this? If we want to say it's for the money, the heck with the student-athletes, we don't care that they're playing 70 to 100 plays with the biggest, strongest, fastest athletes in the history of college football out in space where we're having collisions after collisions after collisions. If we want to say the heck with all that, we need the money, well, then just say that and expand it. But you have a hard time convincing me that the majority of the student-athletes who will never play in the NFL, who will never play for a national championship or a conference championship, that expanding it benefits them.
All right, Jerry. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate your time, as always.
Okay, guys.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, buddy. I'm not disagreeing with him, but wouldn't all those guys like to be in the conversation for a championship, too? I mean, whether only one group can win, I mean, wouldn't it be awesome to have been in the Final Eight, to have been in the playoff? When I was in the college playoff, even if it's a field of 8 or 16 or whatever the hell it would have to be.
Yeah, and I know the conversation, well, if it's 8, then when does
it get to 16? Yeah,
16, right? Yeah. 16.
But are we really going to be arguing about 9, 10?
No.
Then?
No.
Are we going to be arguing about Washington?
We're arguing about like 3, 4, right? I mean, this is a real – Joe, I don't remember a year where the poll came out and it was like, oh, damn it, we were looking at the whole thing the wrong way. Like, this is pretty extraordinary that we thought there were two Big Ten teams in the four, and it turns out there weren't any.
The number of one-loss teams in Wisconsin the thing. Is – wow.
We're going to talk to Dave Richard and get some fantasy aspect on this stuff, too.
312-644-6767 is the number if you have fantasy football questions. I know you're out there and you do. Dave's here for you.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 to the score. Dave Richard joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Your CarX man has the lowest tire prices right now. Dave, of course, fantasy expert, CBS. Dave, I don't know if you're aware or not, the Bears are back from the bye. They've had time to put an offense together. They got a couple receivers joining the fray. The Packers don't have Aaron Rodgers. This is a fantasy of sorts.
It's something.
Yeah, it's something.
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily a big bonanza for the Bears' offense. I think the run game is going to get going, and I think the Bears are going to try and grind down the Packers the way each of the last two opponents that beat the Packers did, and that's own the time of possession, really limit the snaps for Brett Hundley, and then when it's third down, you go after him, and he can't make a play. I think the Bears can actually pull off the win here against the Packers. Brett Hundley has been that bad. And last week, look, there were a lot of Packers that I liked last week because I figured Mike McCarthy will get this team going in the right direction. They're going to come out of their bye. Hundley can't be as bad as he looked. He looked pretty bad. And it's really a shame because a lot of people drafted Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams, and they had Aaron Jones in their lineup, and everybody disappointed this past week. It's tough to look at the Packers and have confidence. They're so bad that even Martellus Bennett left.
Well, here's the thing, David, and one of the first questions we got via the text line was Sanu or Devontae Adams, because as you said, and the texter points out, you know, Huntley's killing the guy and killing his value, but is there anyone other than Jordan Howard that gets a play in this game? It could be a battle of field goals with, you know, Connor Barth missing one at the end of the game.
Yeah, I'm not trusting Connor Barth, and I'm not trusting Mason Crosby either. Even if they end up getting good field goals, they'll do it on my waiver wire. They haven't been good this year. I'll give you something to use in fantasy. How about the Bears DST? The fact that they're going up against Hundley, maybe get a turnover or two, certainly sack him a few times. They're going to play the Packers without Brian Bulaga at right tackle. That's something that the Bears are sure to attack. And this defense for Chicago has been playing great lately. I would not be surprised at all if the Bears DST finishes a top 10 unit in week 10.
Nice one. All right, we're going to get to your public. They seek you, Dave. We'll start with John. John is on with Dave Richard. Good morning, John.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
What's up?
I did say I had a wide receiver question, but I think more importantly, it's just my quarterback issue. I lost Jameis Winston this week. I did pick up his replacement in Fitzpatrick, but I also have Josh McCown, and they're going against each other. Who do you prefer this week?
I like McCown. I love the track record that he's had in his last five games, multiple touchdowns in each one. He's completing 70% of his passes. He's looking as good as he did when he was running it for Chicago way back when. And I think that he's going to continue to do it against Tampa Bay. The Bucs defense is getting a little healthy, but it doesn't really matter. They don't have a good pass rush. McCown will have time to throw, and he will chuck it deep and get plays out of Robbie Anderson, Jermaine Kearse, Austin Seferian Jenkins. These are names that no one thought they'd be starting in fantasy. And certainly Josh McCown's a name no one thought they'd start in fantasy. And now here he is doing great work. I think fantasy owners should buy in.
How do you guard against recency bias if you have, the Lions, after seeing them play the Packers on Monday night? Because we have a question here, Golden Tate or Stephon Diggs, and you know the number, and they get the Browns this week, so maybe it doesn't matter.
Right, that's exactly the point. Recency bias definitely comes into play when you're evaluating players, but really the matchup means so much more. And here are the Lions at home against the Browns. It doesn't get better than this. And furthermore, we know that the Lions had a hard time running the football last week. I think they're going to continue to struggle to move the rock on the ground. It means Matthew Stafford's going to have to throw a lot. I like him as a top three quarterback this week. I think he's going to have another big game against the Browns.
Dave, is there an inevitability to Ezekiel Elliott serving that suspension, or do you stay with the guy as long as you can and worry about it on the waiver wire whenever it happens?
Apparently there's something going down today in New York about it, where he's going to have yet another day in court, and everybody's just kind of tired of it. And, you know, if he's going to get suspended, let's get it over and done with already.
Right.
But at the same time, I think there's a chance that he could actually play all of this season, and maybe he doesn't get suspended until next season or at all. So right now, here's the plan. If you've got Ezekiel Elliott, you've got to do what it takes to get Alfred Morris on your team. That's the guy that's going to play in place of him, and in the case of a suspension. And then you'll lock up the Cowboys' backfield for the rest of the season. That's what you have to do.
All right, let's try Garrett. He's in Naperville. Garrett, you're on with Dave Richard.
Yeah, big week this week. I'm 7-2 playing the other 7-2 team for first. Running back, Lamar Miller against the Rams, Alvin Kamara against Buffalo, and then also in the same league, Roethlisberger or Goff.
I'm going to go Goff over Roethlisberger, but I like both of them this week, so those guys should go off for multiple touchdowns and well over 250 yards. And I'll take Kamara. The way that he's been playing and what I expect to see from the Saints is a lot of running against Buffalo. That means a lot of Mark Ingram, who I still have ranked higher than Kamara. But Kamara is again, if you want to talk about recency bias, a lot of people are going to say Kamara's the better running back than Ingram at this point because he had the bigger game last week. I don't see it that way. I still think Ingram is the better running back for New Orleans, but they're both going to get a lot of work. And Kamara's been making plays in every single game this year. I like his matchup, and I like his workload against Buffalo.
Let's try Tony. He's on the road. He's on the score. Morning, Tony.
Hey, Dave. I got a quarterback question. I had Winston go down as well. I also have McCown or Andy Dalton at Tennessee.
I'm going with McCown. I'm going to play the hot hand. Dalton lost another offensive tackle for the season. Jake Fisher's gone, and I think that's going to hurt him when it comes to the pass rush. Not that Tennessee's pass rush is anything to write home about, but he's on the road. It's the second of 3 weeks in a row that Cincinnati's going to be away from home. And I know that A.J. Green, everybody thinks he's going to bounce back after last week's game. I'm worried about Andy Dalton coming through with big numbers against Tennessee. He's a risk to me. I think McCown is actually safer.
he always crazy. Was. I
yeah,
know.
It's,
hey.
Crazy. It's crazy he's still playing, matter of fact.
Well, you know, what was the book that our catcher wrote, teammate? That's his book, right?
Yeah, David Ross's book, yeah.
That is David Ross's book title, but it really is.
He made Jay a better person.
He made him
Jay.
A better person. Come on. Novell hey, is listening what? Online. Go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, the Bears have Trubisky now.
He'll make Mark Sanchez is making him a better person. Novell is on with Dave Richard. Before you go, Novell, I've got to say this. Dave, I keep hearing that Sanchez is the guy that helped create Dak Prescott in Dallas, okay? This drives me insane. And now he's helping Mitchell Trubisky. Did I miss something? Don't they have a former NFL quarterback as the head coach? Doesn't Scott Linehan, a former NFL head coach, work as the offensive coordinator? I think Wade Wilson is still the another former NFL. God almighty. But go ahead. I'm sorry, Novell.
You'll ruin Mark Sanchez's next time.
I'm in the standard league. I need two Goodwin, Devontae Adams, or Derrick Henry.
I think Henry might be the way to go. Like this is where we're at right now with Devontae Adams, is that he's such a touchdown-dependent wide receiver who's not going to get you a lot of yards. And we know that DeMarco Murray is banged up for Tennessee, and Derrick Henry seems to be on the cusp of taking over again. We've said it before. I don't love Henry's matchup, but I do like his potential to score, and that's enough for me to start him over Adams.
One of our texters says T.Y. Hilton's driving him nuts because he's leading in points, but you don't know what you're going to get week to week with him.
Right, and that's why you start him week to week. And he's got too much potential, and I think the Colts learned last week that when they get him the ball and they put him in space, they let him make a play, that's when they have a chance to actually win a football game. And against Pittsburgh, look, I don't think they're going to win the game either way, but they're going to be playing from behind, and T.Y. Hilton's going to have his numbers. I would be hard-pressed to sit Hilton this week.
Let's try Mark in Barrington. Mark, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, so I have a Jordy Nelson issue. Is I'd like to play him, but I know they're not doing anything with Huntley at quarterback. So do I go with Diggs or Brandon Cooks?
I love Cooks this week against Denver. It's a tough matchup, but with Chris Hogan now expected to play, it's going to open up some more targets for Cooks. And I think the Patriots are going to move him around, use him in the slot a little bit more, try and get him away from those outside cornerbacks for Denver. And I'll tell you one other thing. You saw Philadelphia attack that secondary last week. And they did some things that I think the Patriots can try and use against Denver as well, even though they're on the road. So Cooks is someone that I think fantasy owners should just kind of start and hopefully not take too many lumps with.
Tonight you've got Arizona playing. Are you buying Adrian Peterson stock, or is this like just a couple-week uptick for the old guy?
We've actually had a lot of debate over Adrian Peterson here at the office. My colleague Heath Cummings has pointed out that he had a career-high in carries last week, and now he's going in a short week against the Seattle Seahawks run defense that's been pretty good. They haven't been as good on the road as they have been at home, but I've seen enough from these Thursday night games to know that the teams traveling on the short week don't do as well as the teams that are playing at home, and the running backs specifically in these home games have put up good numbers. I can't help myself. I still think Adrian Peterson's a good start this week.
Let's try John in Elmhurst. John, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having Dave on. Morning, Dave. I just wanted to ask about Kirk Cousins or Marcus Mariota.
I'll go with Mariota, and I think he's getting closer and closer to playing well. I think the receiving core is finally healthy. And that run game for Tennessee, we know that DeMarco Murray isn't 100% healthy. We know that Derrick Henry hasn't been a star for them. They really haven't run the ball as well as we thought they would this season. And it's going to force Mariota to put the ball in the air a little bit more, and it might force Mariota to run a little bit more as well, something we haven't seen from him lately because of his hamstring injury. He's healthy now. He should be fine. I like him better than Cousins.
Nixon Stickney. Morning, Nick.
Hi, Dave. I know you touched on Stafford and Detroit, him being in the top three, but I also have Wilson, who's playing tonight, and he's been pretty good, too. So just wondering.
It's a great problem to have. I would play the matchup with Stafford getting the regular time. Not quite the regular time. He played on Monday, but he's at home against Cleveland. It's too good of a matchup to pass up.
We will let you go, Dave, but just quickly on the way out, we have a lot of people asking questions about Josh Gordon. You know, how does a guy drink Grand Marnier and still perform now? What do you make of him for the rest of the year?
What do you think I do before I get on the air?
The big bong hit?
That's great.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in carrying him when I know he's not going to be on the field for a month, if he's on the field at all.
Right.
It looks like the Browns have brought him back in and they're happy with him. If I'm in a deeper league, if I've got seven or more bench spots and I want to stash him for the postseason run, I guess that's okay. But I'd rather wait to see if he's on my waiver wire in a couple more weeks and then consider picking him up.
Only if A.J. McCarron was throwing the ball to him, then you got some.
You know, that makes a big difference.
Oh, my God. All righty, Dave. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up as always.
All right, guys. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Dave.
That's our guy, Dave Richard. He is Chicago Guy Made Good, and always a joy to talk to him. We're going to bring in Biggs next. Brad Biggs from the Chicago Tribune. It is Biggs time. It's Packers week, and we're going to quiz him. Mully and Hanley on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.